The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. My guest today is Kenny Marquardt, and he is the co-founder of Sandpoint Strength and Conditioning, along with his wife, Jen. And Kenny just happens to be my pinnacle in the career that I have chosen to do. And it's just been such a pleasure to actually get to watch a career unfold in ways that I'm so inspired to help others to do as well. Kenny and Jen both left Santa Barbara about 11 years ago to create a whole new life for themselves in Sandpoint. And they didn't exactly know what it was that they were going to do. They didn't know exactly how they were going to do it. And they didn't really know how it would unfold. But they just knew that the careers that they were experiencing in Santa Barbara, although they were lucrative, were just not providing them the meaning and the lifestyle that they really wanted to live, and it was just time to make a change. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, Kenny's going to join us and share with us how his career journey has unfolded and some of the tips and techniques that he has used along the way to get it to where it is today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. Before we went to break, I was saying that my guest today is Kenny Marquardt. Yes, he's got the same last name as me, and he is my son. And he has taken an opportunity to create a career and a lifestyle that he loves. And he is here to share with us how he happened to have it begin and where it's going. And I can't wait to let you share all your experiences and your tips with others so that hopefully they can embark upon the same. So thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Thanks, Mom.
You're so welcome.
Fun. We did this 6 years ago or so, six or seven.
Yeah. It's flown by, and I just thought, you know, you have moved in a direction that I think is so beneficial for others so that they can kind of get through. I think you guys were still in some of those points of not having it all figured out and kind of muddling through, and I think that what you're doing nowadays is it's kind of a solution for other people to get to do that. So that's why I thought it'd be fun to have you on the show again today.
Totally. And I always laugh when I had somebody tell me I had it all figured out the other day, and I had to laugh and kind of say, I don't think I'll ever have it figured out. And I'm still muddling through it and still scared and still doing a lot of the same steps. It's just in a different framework now. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what keeps you moving along.
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I do know just from the work that I do and the clients that I work with is there are so many people that are in a situation that you were when you and Jen made the decision to up and leave Santa Barbara. And I always say, you know, they had great quote unquote careers and they were making good money, but there just wasn't the purposeless and there was so much stress attached to it that you made a cognitive decision that this isn't what you wanted to do. So I think that's helpful for other people to realize that, you know, just because it looks like you have a great career and you're making a lot of money, that's not necessarily the best solution.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the great resignation, as they're calling it now, is over the last 2 years where people are leaving otherwise what looked like great jobs for something else and moving or starting over. I think people are starting to get that more in the, it's not so much of a immediate gratification or delayed gratification on that spectrum where, you know, I think a lot of those careers are appealing because down the line you'll get the payoff.
Right.
And there's stability in that you are investing in, or you're investing in a future that maybe 20 or 30 years down the line.
Yeah.
And instead now people are looking more in the short term to realize like, let's do something that's fulfilling now. And that might delay that, or it might, you know, that I think that's the scary thing for people. But
yep.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah. And so, well, you obviously had similar thoughts.
Yeah.
What allowed you to make the decision that you did to say, well, we're just gonna embark upon this and see what happens?
Well, I think, honestly, one of the things was you. Like, your support is something that I feel so fortunate to have, and I think that's what sometimes people are missing, that where, and I feel like my story is, it's not cheapened necessarily, but it's easier. It was an easier story because I had supportive voices with you and with Jen, who thought this was a good idea and were very basically like, yeah, do what you think. And I talk to many people now who have the opposite voices from almost all surrounding that make that decision a lot harder. And they have these, you know, people telling them it's not going to work, that they're never going to make it. They're dumb for even considering it.
Right.
And that makes it more challenging. I think for us, it was a little bit easier because we were 26, 27, somewhere around there. And we didn't have as much to lose. So, it was still challenging. It was still hard. But I think that at a younger age, it was a little bit easier. So, and then what kind of made us do it though was just that sinking feeling that never went away, and that the Sunday dread of the upcoming week and having, you know, 5:05 on Friday afternoon be the happiest moment of my life, and that would slowly trickle away, you know, every single minute that would go by, that I knew that Monday was coming back around, that reprieve was never going to go officially, that reprieve was going to eventually end.
Right.
And that would be magnified. You know, I remember going on vacations, we'd take a week off, and that would, the same thing would happen. As soon as we hit like the halfway point in the vacation, it would be that dread.
Yep.
And just knowing that was a relationship that wasn't healthy, nor something I wanted to do for the rest of my working years.
Right.
So, those things combined with the support made us just make the leap and figure it out.
Right. And, you know, and I know that with the clients that I work with, there is that constant thought of, you know, somebody's going to be disappointed if I don't do this, or somebody doesn't think that this is the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that becomes like the impetus for why they continue doing it. And I also have learned that what it is usually all about is that the bottom line for somebody else in the work that they're doing. And there's just not that feeling of purpose, and there's not meaning to it. So, and I believe that was a big part of what kind of drove you guys to move on as well.
Yeah.
In the search for, like, I think there's something more out there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just taking that leap was, we knew we could at least try. And at least, like, we would know that even if we failed, which I'm not really sure how we would have defined that, that at least we gave it a shot, and that we could go back knowing that, go back in the corporate life, the kind of 9-to-5 normal.
Yes, and I remember that, I think one of your biggest moments of glory was when you sat down with some of your fellow coworkers. They told you how jealous they were that you were actually taking that step and doing what they all wished that they could do.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a really common, I think everybody, well, maybe not everybody, but I think a lot of people have that same feeling, and that maybe there's something more that they would want to chase, and maybe not ever, maybe... That's unfair to make it a universal thing like that, but I think there are a lot of people that are feel like there's a higher purpose. But we had some direction. Like, I think we knew the fields that we wanted to go into, which were fitness and nutrition. I think that was a longer journey too that we don't talk about very much in terms of, like, I remember calling you all the time and saying, I know I don't want to do this,
right?
But I don't really know what else I want to do. And we had a couple of businesses and a couple of other attempts. I had a silk screening business.
Yeah.
I had a graphic design business. I can't remember. I feel like there's some others along the way there too that were just kind of like, it was, there's a term, I think it's Jim Collins. It was a book called, I think his books are, there's a couple, Good to Great, or I can't remember. Anyways, the point is, the saying is shoot or fire bullets, then cannonballs. And you kind of got to, like, find your target and, like, make small little investments towards the direction you think you might be headed, and then make a big leap. Right. And so we did a lot of those little small attempts, and they didn't really work out. And then the fitness and nutrition thing was really where we felt more drawn and realized that we could take a leap and take a big leap and make an investment in that and move in that way. So
right. And I...
We felt more drawn and realized that we could take a leap and take a big leap and make an investment in that and move in that way. So
right. And oftentimes what I tell clients too, just like you said, it's like and as I watched your career path kind of unfold, whereas, you know, you looked into, like, the silk screening, like you said, you did the business management in the restaurant, you did the paychecks where you understood payroll and accounting and things like that. And I remember I kept saying to you, don't worry, it's all going to come together. There's certain things that you're drawn to, and they're just components of what it is that you may ultimately want to do. But if you have an interest in it, an attraction and a fascination in it, it's something you can likely pull together. And then, so then I love what happened once you got here and kind of how becoming a gym owner came into fruition. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
You mean just how everything parlayed into the
how the landing whole... on the doorstep, not really knowing what you were going to do, and how that kind of all of a sudden it just kind of transpired into something that is still going on today.
Yeah. Well, so that's, I mean, well, we got here in June, which, as an aside, I think it's worth saying, moving was one of those things, another support mechanism that made this work, because it allowed us to redefine our identities. Mm-hmm. And I tell people this frequently, like, it's almost like you have to lie. You to create this new identity, sometimes you find yourself lying or telling stories or exaggerating certain aspects of your resume, as it were, for this new position that you want to be. And that's, I think, easier with a new territory, because you're introducing yourself to people and you can, you know, again, it's not so much lying as it is, like, building up your resume in areas that you're trying to suit for this new identity. And you can run with it better than trying to reframe your identity to the people that are surrounding you and your friends and family who already know you as whatever you were. So,
such a good point.
Yeah. I mean, it's to say up and move and go do something, or to follow your dream, you have to move. It can make it harder, but also easier at the same time. But then when we got here, we still were very much floundering in what we were actually going to do. I think, you know, we talked about doing online businesses. We talked about doing remote or like a personal training business that came to you. We talked about a lot of different things. Yeah. So it was still kind of the kind of wandering in the dark. And but then the facility,
and very scary.
Oh, terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely terrifying. And we'd saved up a little bit of money, but it wasn't going to last us forever. And we both ended up getting jobs. Jen worked at Spud's and I worked at Monarch Mountain Coffee. And that was not the dream.
No.
That was not the dream at all, but it was what made sense to just kind of get it.
Yeah.
Lay some groundwork and make a little bit of money to pay the bills and
that's okay.
Totally.
I mean, I remember you did struggle with that. You go, Mom, I'm a barista.
Yeah.
And to have gone from a lucrative career in Santa Barbara to making, I don't know, I think you're making $7 an hour or something. But I think that's such a good message as well. It's that sometimes you have to take steps in the direction of your dream. It may not look like you're moving in that direction, but if it's something that'll help you pay the bills and it'll get your foot in the door and, you know, you can make some other connections, whatever, at least you to embrace it for what it has to offer you can definitely be a positive and not a negative. And I think that's one of the things that people are really afraid to do.
Yeah, it's a time frame thing too, where knowing that it's a short term to get you to the long term is a little bit like that gets a little bit lost. And of course, like I didn't get it at the time, but then it made sense where it allowed me some peace of mind and some freedom of flexibility where I could work on building the other thing or brainstorming about the other thing, and that took some of the stress off for the. And then, because then I ended up bartending at 41 South as well. That was next, and that kind of made more sense because the schedule allowed, once we had opened the facility, opened the gym, I could do both. Right. And that was, it wasn't sustainable, but it was a six-month lifeline to allow it to get started. Right. So I could run classes from 6 a.m. to the afternoon, and I could shoot over to bartend in the evenings and do it all over again. Again, that wasn't sustainable, but it helped pay the bills and it helped everything get started off in a way that made sense and and take a little bit of stress off, even if it was time stress, the financial stress was eased.
Right. So. And I would love for you to share the story of how you went from like just kind of taking shots in the dark to how finally something came together in discovering that the gym was going to be your path.
Yeah, so Duffy Mahoney and Britton Whitley had started this gym. It was more of a hobby for them. And I started working out with them in this gym after finding out about it by going down to Coeur d'Alene and working out at a gym down there. And they had mentioned about, they mentioned those two had their place. And so I got in touch with Duffy and started conversations with them. And then a couple of weeks into that, I said, hey, like, I want to do, this is exactly what I want to do. I just, this was, you know, great to have gotten to know you guys, great to have gotten to know where you want to go with this thing, but I want to run this as a business. And from that moment, like, I saw that it was kind of my, once that was an amicable way forward, that was like the starting gun to run. Yeah. And that was kind of what I had been looking for years, just kind of, I felt like I was spinning my wheels and not getting any traction, but I was wanted to go pedal to the floor in any way that felt good. And that was where I was like, yeah, this is my chance. Now I'm going to shoot the cannonball and let's go.
Yep. Yeah. And again, like in working with clients, I always say like when you feel inspired to go, you run and you don't look back and you just take it all in and embrace it. And that's the indicator that you're on the right path.
Yep. And taking action, like, so there's the being, learning to be comfortable in the dark as you're kind of floundering around, but trying to stay on the path and follow the right way that you need to go. Like, if it feels right, then keep going. It might not be exact, but, like, at least taking some steps and just trying it. And you might fall on your face and you might start over and you might go broke and you might have to get a second job. But if you keep kind of heading that way, it does get refined and then it gets clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. But if you stand around looking, waiting for the inspiration to come to you or waiting for someone to like open the door for you, it's probably not going to happen.
Exactly. Okay, we need to go to break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to take the risks and to have the courage to live lives and to do work that they genuinely love. My guest today is Kenny Marquardt, and he is the co-founder of Sandpoint Strength and Conditioning, along with his wife, Jen. And before break, we were talking about how Kenny and Jen were so inspired to move to Sandpoint, and they had the opportunity finally to develop a gym and get the program off the ground. And so I thought what we could talk about now, Kenny, is like, so whenever anybody starts out on a new adventure career-wise, especially when it's entrepreneurial in nature. There's always that, like, am I going to make it? Is everything going to be okay? And, you know, you just keep going. Like you said, you walk down some paths. Sometimes you have to turn around and go back to where you were. But you just keep going and you keep the action moving in a direction so that you can feel that level of comfort and success. So when did you feel like that happened for you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure that I feel that way now. And I say that because as a startup from scratch, like, you are taking risks almost all the way through, where, you know, it's as you move through the process where, you know, you begin, start the business and you're doing everything. You're, you know, in the gym space, it's coaching all the classes, you're cleaning all the floors, you're doing the payroll, it's a 7 days a week, 14-hour a day type of a thing, even if you're not coaching classes or actively doing what you're supposed to be doing, actively doing what you're selling. And then you can hire some stuff out. But that's a little bit of a risk. So you can make sure you can spend your time more effectively, but you hire out someone to clean the floor. And that process, like, has been there for 10 years of, you know, hiring the next person and then hiring the next person, then expanding and then investing into more equipment and then investing into the next thing. And then even if it's on a smaller scale in our aspect, it still has been like, it still feels like I'm not sure that we've made it or not. Like, it's still kind of the, like, how do we make this better? And how can we take the next risk to improve this thing? That said, I remember where I was when I had this thought. As far as making it, I think I made it once I only had to work at the gym. Once I was able to walk away from 41 South and be able to devote my time just to the gym, I felt like I made it. And I remember what I was referencing in terms of where I was was when COVID first hit and we had to shut down. I thought the gym was going to start all over again. I thought we had a pretty big membership. We had, at that point, by most definitions, made it. We had a full staff. We were just able to take a vacation to Mexico for an extended period of time. And that felt like that we had made it. But a week or 2 weeks after we came back, we were forced to shut down. And that was, of course, terrifying. But the feeling that I had was, okay, maybe we start all over, but I know how to do it. And I don't, like, that's not the worst sentence. That's not a death sentence. Like, I don't mind starting over with this thing because this is what I want to do.
Awesome.
And that was a cool, like, as far as making it, like, knowing that the flexibility to, you know, scale all the way up, but if I had to scale all the way back down, that was okay as well. That was pretty neat. It wasn't I put in 20 years, and so now I have 20 years of returns on this thing that I'm going to be able to bank on to fund my retirement. It was more like, well, I can go back and do the thing that I've always loved doing.
Yep.
It'll probably look a little bit different. It'll be hard. It'll be frustrating, but maybe I'll do it even better this time.
Love it.
So that was, I don't know that that was really answered your question, but it does kind of harken back to the beginning of the conversation. So,
Yeah. And so, you know, and I think that kind of lends itself a little bit to when you started talking about, you know, starting all over again and what that would be like from the lens of having already experienced it. And so I kind of think that leads into what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And is that kind of how you got started with Two Brain?
For sure.
Okay.
Well, I got started with Two Brain. So Two Brain is a gym mentoring business. So we coach other gym owners on how to run their businesses. And the vast majority of gym owners know fitness and they know weight training and they know nutrition, but they don't know anything about business. None of us got into it for business, really. It was always more or less of a passion project. Nobody starts a gym. Well, maybe some, but not a lot of people start gyms like ours to get rich. That's not the point.
Right.
It's to help people and to be able to pay the bills so you can help as many people as you can, which is a great foundation. But unfortunately, it just doesn't work for a lot of people, and a lot of people are left hanging, wondering how to do it and what to do.
Okay, and I just want to interject here that I think it's true no matter what business that it is that you're embarking upon. I mean, when you have a skill set or a passion for something that, you know, is so innate to you. Yes, you're absolutely right. The support things don't necessarily fall into that. And I think that that's a lot of reason why people don't get started. And that's why I love the fact that Two Brain has taken that into consideration for gym owners that, and it's more specific, I mean, it's specifically designed for gym owners, but I think the principles apply across the board. So, you know, if you're listening and you're not necessarily considering a gym, I think a lot of the things that you're talking about can apply to any business that's starting up.
Certainly. So. And it's probably, so the name T-Brain comes from, like, there's the financial business side, the business brain, and then there's the passion brain. And that most people don't get into their thing with both. They might come in with a business brain, but they don't have the passion. We don't really teach passion, but more people in the gym space get into it with passion and don't have the business. So that's where the Two Brain side of things comes from. It definitely lends itself to whatever business it is. We talk a lot about things, and the thing that I'm doing now is coaching other gym owners. I work with about 40 gyms around the world. And that's what I spend most of my time doing now at the gym. Is we have a wonderful full-time staff that can help run what we started, and that allows me to help more people in a bigger way through what I'm doing now with them.
So, you know, it just made me realize that, you know, because as you said, it's like even at the beginning when you're starting a gym or a new business, it's like, to think about paying somebody to clean, sometimes it's like you feel like it's an expense that, you know, you could do it yourself. And so then to move to the point where, you know, you've got managers that are doing work for you that you could do, but you're freeing yourself up to do other things. I think that's a big kind of foundation in Two Brain. So do you want to speak a little bit about, like, how that plays out?
Yeah, for sure. So, and it does. It translates. It's almost a universal thing where most of us, especially entrepreneurs or business owners, I think tend to believe that they can do things the best, and that they look at how much money is outgoing towards things and think that that's, like, you know, a foolish way to spend their money, or they only see the money going out and not the return that could be if they did start doing something else. And so one of the ways that we'll start that process, maybe it isn't cleaning. Some people really like to clean. Now that might not be on their list to get rid of. Right. But we will essentially make that list. We'll start off, okay, and we talk about it in phases. So we'll talk about entrepreneurship in terms of a founder phase where you're starting the business, you're doing everything, you're just barely making ends meet. You might be working two jobs, but that's kind of the price of entry. And then we talk about the farmer phase, where you start to offload some of those things that you no longer like to do or no longer make sense to do because you can hire it out and do more of the things that you're better at that will pay for those things better. And then we have the tinker phase, where you have your business is more or less running on its own, and you have the freedom. You have a little bit more freedom to tinker with your business to enhance it in the best way that you possibly can. So what we talk about in founder phase for people is the first things that they offload are usually the things that they don't like to do.
Sure.
So they can, again, for in the gym space, it's more on coaching. So cleaning tends to be one of those things. Payroll tends to be one of those things. Sales and marketing might be one of those things. But in any case, it's making a list of whatever that makes your day hardest, makes your week, like, the most dreadful, and you look to offload those things, and then you just spend that time either doing the things that pay you to do what you love to do or want to do or what you're best at, or taking a break, because a lot of times you need that one in the beginning. So you might take those up a couple hours you hired out to have your gym cleaned and just go home and spend time with your family or work on the other things that make your business better. So
with the clients that you work with, Is that kind of one of those moments for them that it's a challenge to not let go of it because they want to be doing it, but to let go of the fact that they're actually offloading it and going to pay somebody? Is that kind of one of those moments that you see them struggle with in the beginning?
Yeah, definitely. In the beginning and all the way through, It's a challenge, especially for, you know, this is a baby for most of us. And that analogy plays out all the way through in that to most effectively parent, you need to let your kids make mistakes. And like, you can't do it for them. And that might be inelegant at times, but for the overall success of the business, it has to happen. So whether it's cleaning or whether it's coaching or whether it's, you know, any aspect, you might be the best person to do it. You might be able to whoever you hire to do it might not do quite as good a job as you right away, but you need to allow them the time and you need to get better at training them to do it better so that in the long term that they can maybe do it better than you. And then that's the ultimate goal. But the question was, you know, is that hard? And it's really hard.
Yeah.
So, and then you think, you know, especially if it doesn't go right and you get egg on your face the first couple times, any of these positions that get hired for, you're looking at the financial investment that you're putting out, and you're looking at that money and you're looking at the return that it's not as good as you could have done it. And that's a hard thing to reconcile. But rather than diving back in and doing it yourself, the best expression of that is teaching them and learning how to train somebody and not blowing up and just saying, hey, this is how it should be done. Let me show you, and then moving forward. Right. So,
and I would imagine one of the sticky parts as well is when you get to that point where you're training somebody to kind of replace you. And I would imagine that that's a little bit hard when it was your baby, your passion to get this baby off the ground and running. And then all of a sudden to be working yourself out of that job and to hand that off to somebody else must be a little bit of a ego hit at times, I would imagine.
Yeah. So I did that. I worked myself out of a job, which is awesome. Like, and on paper, that's probably a definition of making it, is where you don't have to go to work anymore. And I did that, and it was one of the most miserable, challenging, most depressed times of my life.
Yeah.
Because I'd kind of built this thing, and then for a lot of reasons, I stepped back from it a little bit, and some of it was growth, and some of it was like a bit of the analogy of at that point, it's almost like you're teaching your teenager how to drive, which I haven't done yet, but I can imagine like you have to let them go drive and they might crash. They might end up in the ditch. They might, you know, whatever, but to be there paying attention, even if you're not in the back seat, to save them. So they learn and can go, you know, you trust them and they trust themselves and they're excited and they're confident on their own. That was the right thing to do, but it was very challenging. And the biggest challenge was the lack of a purpose at that point, where I knew what to do leading up to that. And I no longer had a full schedule. I no longer had that, like, okay, well, this is what I do every day. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, okay, well, now I just kind of wait and see when people need me.
Does anybody need me?
Does anybody need me? And then when you start to get the question, when you show up to work and people ask you what you're doing there, or who you are, or whatever.
I help you?
Yeah, it's very strange and very, like, I laugh, but I mean, sincerely, that was one of the most depressing kind of crummy parts of the whole thing. So, and I thought a lot about just going back and starting over, or not starting over, but kind of inserting myself back in the business. But long term now, it's been really good. And then finding the purpose for helping the other gym owners has replaced that it was now that's the passion. And it makes sense of, okay, well, first you coach, and then you coach coaches, and you coach coaches how to coach coaches, and now coaching owners how to run their business. Like, that's become the big impact thing that drives me every day now. So
I love that. Anyways, we need to go to break again, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who've chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. You know, what does that feel like to grow people in that way? That has got to be immensely rewarding. and scary at the same time.
Yeah, it's both in a lot of in different ways. It is. It's definitely both. But yeah, it is crazy rewarding in a different way to watch and see them gain confidence and hear about their positive experiences with clients and to see them flourish in a group and like to do all the things that were to watch them watch your kids to grow comfortable in environments that they weren't very comfortable in and seeing them take the same kind of leaps that I did and embrace that and help those people and probably more importantly in my arena is that they're probably better at it than I am, especially to certain people, and to realize that that impact is expanded now to say, well, had this person walked in the door and worked with me, like they wouldn't have had success. They wouldn't have stuck around. They wouldn't have whatever thought I was funny. It just wouldn't have been a good experience. And so to see that and now have the personalities that we do and the people that we do and the strengths that they do to see that it is because in the beginning, it is a bit of a trust exercise to think like, yeah, this is what I think I'm supposed to do. This is what my mentor's telling me, or this is what I know I need to do by this. To see that actually work is pretty neat from a selfish perspective and from the altruistic or more like seeing them grow and flourish and coach in their own ways and through their own languages and see that reward as well. Mm-hmm. So sorry to cut you off, but like one of our coaches had somebody, I think they lost, I can't remember, it was like between 80 and 100 pounds the other day. I've never had anyone do that. And, you know, she was like, oh, that was Amanda, who's amazing, if you know her. But, like, just when she told me that, it was like, that was the coolest thing ever to say, okay, cool. Point. Like, I had nothing to do with that. And, I was, like, watching your kids see success, like, all the cool, crazy success you ever hoped them to see. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I really do believe that we're doing work in the world that, you know, has purpose when we can see that others' lives are enhanced by what we're doing, and you know, by you growing through these ranks of moving away from the gym and growing other coaches so that they can enhance other people's lives, you're reaching way more numbers that you could have just yourself alone, and that's one of the things that I think is helpful too.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, again, like working with other gyms now to think, you know, in my gym model, we talk about a gym is doing pretty well if they have 150 members. Like that's like what their reach can be with a certain amount of coaches. But anyway, if I'm working with 40 gyms and I can get all of them to 150 members or more, you know, it's 6,000 people or so that I can in some way touch. And it's not really about me. Nor am I that impactful on them so much as I'm just kind of like giving them permission and giving them slight guidance, but like to think about that. And if I can just have some part in that, that's pretty rewarding to me. Yeah. So,
and you know, and going back to kind of how we started out our conversation is that your job when you were in Santa Barbara was all about the bottom line, how much money you could bring in for another company. And I know you didn't feel connected to that at all, and now I can see what you're doing, and now what your conversation is about, it's about helping others and enhancing more lives and making their lives better, and that has really so little to do with money. The money is just kind of the fringe benefit that comes along with doing something you really love.
Yeah, it's so true, and that is again the purpose, and more so touching those 6,000 or whatever people, I think hopefully I'm doing that math right, is professionalizing coaches and allowing people to do this as a living, because I think that coaches are some of the most important people in the world. I think we can change the world just through habit change, through empowering others to take risks. Like I think that having professional coaches who can do this and make ends meet is more important to me than it is the end user necessarily. So yeah, for sure. It's pretty neat. I feel very fortunate to be in the role that I am.
Awesome. Well, like I said, that's exactly why you're pinnacle in the work that I get to do. So thanks for demonstrating that and explaining that and sharing it with the audience today. So if someone had questions either about Sandpoint strength and conditioning or the work that you're doing with Two Brain, How would they get in touch with you?
I am Kenny@sandpointstrength.com. That's the easiest for sure.
Great. Okay. Thanks again for joining us. That's our show for today. Thanks for listening in. Remember, now.